3, 2, 1. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle? Knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
I'm Carol, and this is Season 3, Episode 12, the final episode of the series of Sticky Pickles. And as a special surprise, we've invited back my husband to tell his very own Sticky Pickles. Now, I can assure you, listeners, that I, nor Maria, know this story. He's not told me anything.
It's unvetted.
Uh-oh. Unvetted.
Unvetted. It's exciting.
Does not involve poop.
Damn it.
I could bring in a bit, possibly, if required.
A little bit of, just a little.
Poop mention.
I feel like, Carl, I should say for our my American friends that when we say the end of this series, we mean season in U.S. terms, right? Because we're coming back for season 4.
Yes. Oh, my God. I think that's right for people in this side of the pond as well. That was just me having a glass of wine.
No. I think you're right. It's the series season thing. I hear people get confused about that all the time.
I do.
So I was just like, just to clarify, we will be back. We're ending this season.
We'll
three.
Be back that's in all. January, but this is our final episode.
There we
it's
go.
It's not the end of the show.
Sticky Pickles will return.
John, I think we should just give you freedom. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go first, second, or third?
I don't know. I difficult.
Do you want us to get started, and then you can be in this like a sandwich, like in the middle? We'll take care of you in the middle.
I think that feels most appropriate.
All right.
It's your final episode, right? So one of you wants to be the first one on the final episode. Not the final ever, obviously. That would be insane.
It's Maria.
Oh, gosh.
So, Maria, tell us about accidental propaganda.
I'm super curious your take on this one. So, for this story, we have Suze and Abigail. Suze and Abigail are cousins that have known each other since they were both babies. They're right around the same age. They're about, like, 45-ish.
Yep.
They've been, you know, cousins, but basically siblings their entire lives, like super close. And they still live nearby each other. And throughout the course of their lives, they've taken very different paths. So they ended, even though they sort of started, their family is sort of similar. Suze is very, very into like yoga, natural remedies. She's not anti-science or anything like that, but she's just very into like...
Namaste, baby.
Yeah, like very like healthy living stuff. It's very much a part of her identity.
Quinoa.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Like she does keto and she eats quinoa and other K sounds.
Raw cider vinegar. Is that a thing?
Oh, yes.
Do people still do that? Yeah, I'm sure she does that too. And Suze is her politics kind of lean a little lefty. And as you might imagine, Abigail is a little different. So Abigail is, she's not a very conservative person, but she's sort of like middle. Like kind of personally conservative in the sense that she doesn't do a lot of adventurous things.
Well, what's adventurous? I think that's very relative, right?
Yeah, I'm using conservative not in a political way, but more of like she's not a risk taker. She tended to do kind of sort of the middle path in life for a lot of things.
Like she wouldn't go skydiving, basically.
Well, yeah, and also like she has like a very traditional life. She has like the husband and the 2.5 children, white picket fence and the dog.
She has the husband? God.
How dare she?
Poor thing.
Yeah. But, and she, you know, her life revolves around going to church and you know, she's got a very different life from Susan in a lot of ways, but they still get together like weekly. They're still very much a part of each other's lives, even though they have their differences. So that's Susan Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them have gotten vaccinated from COVID, so there's no drama there. Abigail got the vaccine, and unfortunately, she got one of the extremely rare side effects that can happen, like statistically almost impossible, but she unfortunately did get them. And she's been documenting her experiences on social media, like posting pictures and talking about her visits to the doctor and figuring out what to do.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Not in an effort to dissuade anybody, but just to be like, hey, this is what I'm going through. I just would like some support and just like, here's what's happening to me. Like, she's not trying to stir up any drama, just to be clear. Unfortunately, what Abigail doesn't know and what Suze has found out is that everything that Abigail's been posting online has been public. And Suze has found whenever you Google Abigail's name, like the first thing that comes up is Abigail's story being reposted on all these propaganda, like anti-vax, anti-mask, COVID is a hoax type blogs everywhere. Mm-hmm.
So basically, Abigail, she had an adverse reaction. She's writing her stuff out on her social media pages, and it's getting picked up by anti-vaxxer sites.
Unsurprisingly.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And as you can imagine, the propagandists are using Abigail's story to be like, see, we told you, here's what could happen, and all that kind of stuff. Aside from the obvious, like, that's bad, and we don't want to fan the flames of that kind of nonsense, the reason why Suze is also concerned about this is that Abigail is a home health consultant. She runs her own business. So her name is very important. And if people are Googling Abigail to hire her, you know, to come into their home to help with, like, rehab, for example, if you've just gotten out of surgery or had a stroke, people are going to Google Abigail and see all this anti-vax, anti-science nonsense, and it's going to hurt her business. It could tank her completely. And Suze is worried that Abigail doesn't know this and doesn't know that this could be really hurting her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her dilemma is this. She doesn't know if Abigail actually knows that this is happening, and she's worried to tell her because she doesn't want to lose her cousin. She doesn't want her to get mad at her because she's afraid that it'll come across as her being like, typical lefty, can't handle dissent, blah, 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 blah. But Suze is genuinely really worried that Abigail's business is going to tank and that she's being used by propagandists, basically, without her consent. So she's struggling. Like, do we tell Abigail? Do I let her know what's going on? Or do I just let this play out?
Mm.
What do you think?
I think you kind of have to tell her. And I'm sure you can do it in a gentle way and not say, screw you doing this crazy shit. You can just say, oh, watch out. People are in a different way than you were intending it to come across.
Like, could you say, for example, oh my God, I just Googled your name. Look what came up.
Exactly.
And then just leave it at that. And maybe if Abigail writes back going, oh yeah, it's great, isn't it? Then Suze just has to back off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that might be what Suze is worried about. She's terrified to find out that Abigail's not only okay with it, but like kind of condoning it. And allowing it to happen on purpose, and that would sink.
Egging it on.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that might be why Suze is hesitating.
But then surely you'd want to find that out as well.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
Yeah, probably. So you're thinking that Suze should just be like, lead Abigail right to Google, say, hey, this is what's going on. I don't know if you know about it, but I'm just going to just inform you and just leave it there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I just send a screenshot. I say, oh my God, have you Googled your name? Maybe just do that and go, I've seen your name all over the place. Maybe places you don't want to be. I don't know. Check it out. And then just see what happens, right? Like, lob the ball.
And then just deal with the shrapnel, if there is any.
Yeah, because like Suze can't walk in there and go, let me tell you, you know.
Delete your Facebook.
You are a fool.
Like, the woman had a freaking adverse reaction to a vaccine.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Like, that's got to suck. And I just keep her informed and let her make her decisions.
Yeah, that's very, very grown up.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Johnny, would you?
I think you kind of have to tell her. And how she reacts is, it's her business.
That's true.
We're so wise, honey. We're so wise.
I you both are so wise. I'm so glad we have you both on the show. Well, Suze, if you're out there, I hope you take that very good advice.
Let's move to Johnny.
Oh.
Okay. We don't know what your story is, so we're going to call it XXX.
Oh.
Mysterious.
I don't know.
Oh, no, I did have a great idea for a title, and I forgot it again already. Ah, jeez.
Ah, gosh.
Hey, so I want to tell you about a guy called Jimmy.
Jimmy
is a very young chap. He's like fresh out of college. He's in his first job, and he's been very lucky. In his first year in his job, he's been sent on transfer to the company's Japan office.
Ooh,
that is exciting.
Pretty exciting. He's been stationed in there for 3 months. And he's a bit daunted at first. He's not been done much traveling before because, as I say, he's only a youngster. But he just gets settled in pretty quickly. The people at office are very friendly and helpful. The company's basically set everything up for him.
Okay, so it's like a meal ticket, but it's like scary as shit.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's officially, the office is in a what is deemed a small town, but it's basically part of the mega city sprawl. So it feels like a big city to him. It's just pretty exciting. There's lots of stuff going on all over the place. He's got a cute little flat that he's living in, which is a bit weird. It's got these kind of open air corridors outside. And Japan has a lot of bug life. So when he's coming from the lift to his front door in the evenings, he has to kind of run a gauntlet of cobwebs and stick insects and other creepy crawly things. But that's his main beef with it. Everything else is pretty nice. He's in a little tight knit little team at work, four or five people. They all live in the same block, and basically they all go out for drinks after work pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Japanese style-y.
Jimmy is loving. It's just like party time. He's having a really lovely time.
He's actually enjoying that, and he's not going, oh man, I got to do this again. He hasn't gotten sick of it yet?
No. Well, this is, you know, he's like, he's 20, 22.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So everything's still exciting. Okay. Yeah.
We should also meet Michiko.
Michiko.
Yep. Michiko is his direct boss at the place of work.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit of a cutie. Jimmy's pretty smitten from day one.
With Michiko.
With his boss. Yeah.
With his boss. Yeah. He's very young. He's not had much relationship experience. He's pretty easily impressed by an older woman. So she's only like 5 years older, but it feels like a big deal when it's, you know, early 20s to late 20s.
Ripe old age of 27. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a big difference in experience there.
Yeah, exactly. She's a grandma.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She doesn't tend to party with them after work much. But as the weeks go by, the other team members, they're kind of being cycled out and being replaced. So after a while, Jimmy is basically the longest serving member of the team. And he's got to become quite friendly with Michiko in the office. And they hang out a bit occasionally on like work trips and the odd weekend party thing here and there. But it's not until a couple of months have gone by and he figures out that she's married.
Oh.
And she's not just married, but she's married to Paolo.
Okay.
Okay.
So Paolo is Michiko's boss.
Oh.
So Jimmy's.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Jimmy's Uber boss.
Okay. Uber boss. Yes.
Yes. Yep. And Paolo.
Oh my God.
Is this uncomfortable? Awkward?
No. So I'm just making sure. Okay. So Jimmy is working for Michiko. He's smitten with Michiko. Michiko works for Paolo, and she's actually married to him.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and then what ends up happening is Paolo loves his boss, who's the CEO, and is also his mommy.
Steve-o. No, Paolo is he's like the mommy. head of the local branch, but he's one of these grouchy long-term expats. Like somehow he's managed to spend years somewhere without picking up a word of the local language.
And he hates it there so much.
Yeah, he's just literally.
Oh, I know that guy well.
Jimmy even described him in a message home to his mom as a bit of an A-star hole.
Yeah.
Before he even found out about the Michiko connection.
Oh man.
Yeah,
so, I love this guy. I know Paolo. I know him well. I've met him many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh yes. In Japan specifically. Yeah. The Gaijin Smash, the dude who lives in Japan and hates it there.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a couple of times when they've been on their own away from work, Michiko has complained about Paolo. He's mean to her.
Is she saying my husband is mean, or she's just saying, oh, Paolo is so mean?
Oh, good question. No, she's always describing him as Paolo rather than my husband. Yeah, because that's why it took so long him to figure out that they were married.
Oh.
His name is Paolo. Okay. And he's like, oh, Paolo, your boss. Not realizing, oh, also your husband.
Mm.
Awkward. Okay. But she's said a few times, she said things like, oh, I wish Paolo was kind and thoughtful like you, Jimmy.
Oh.
I'm really looking forward to coming to visit you in your office after you've gone home. And Jimmy's like, hey, this is getting a bit awkward. You know, it's okay. She's cute and all, but she's married. And also, you know, she's married to the Uber boss. I don't want to mess. This is my first job, literally my first ever job. Oh. And I've only been in it for.
And she's 5 years older.
She's
so.
Practically my grandma. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She's got a hairy chin and everything.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's his first issue is like, eek.
So, but he feels like Michiko is putting the moves on, like sending out some signals, and he's confused.
Or is she? He doesn't. That's the thing. He's not sure. He's
22, so how would he know?
he's very young and inexperienced. And he's just like, okay, this is maybe this is normal. Maybe this is what all bosses are like. I don't know.
But he's probably, she's saying things like this, he's probably just being non-committal, and she's probably finding him really boring.
Because he's a teenager, he's just grunting.
Hey, it could be that Michiko is flirting with him on purpose because she enjoys that power dynamic, knowing that like he's kind of stuck and that she has power over him. Could be a kink, who knows?
But he's probably not. He's probably not thinking that at all.
Probably not.
He's probably just thinking.
He wouldn't know. He doesn't know how bad it gets.
He just has no idea what's going on.
He has no idea. He's
baffled. There is 4D chess happening, and he has no clue. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So he just kind of tries to keep his head down. He keeps busy at work. Tries to avoid too many company parties and things. But we're getting towards the end of his stay now. His team organize a little farewell party for Jimmy because he's leaving. And they go to one of their usual dinner places just around a corner from the office, and they go there all the time. But in this particular place, they have two types of tables. So they have the classic sort of long, thin ones for groups of like 20 people. Everyone sits cross-legged on the tatami mat floor. The boss sits at the top, and people basically get progressively drunk from the far end until the boss is the last one left standing. That's the way, yes. That's the traditional style. But they also have these, this is what Jimmy much prefers, they have these little smaller booths where they have a kind of a footwell under the table, like a hole in the floor.
Yes.
So you're sitting on the floor, but your feet are dangling into a hole. So it's more like you're sitting on a chair. And Jimmy's way happier than this. He doesn't love the whole sitting cross-legged for 3 hours thing. That's really hard work.
Hard on your toes. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, if I'm sitting on the floor with a hole for my feet, that's like sitting on a bench. I've got a cushion, comfy, loving it. Happy.
Happy Jimmy.
So yep. Food and drink is coming around. Everybody's having a good time. Michiko is sitting opposite Jimmy. She's smiling and twinkling a lot, as usual. Paolo is supposed to be there, but he's late, as usual, and probably actually not going to show up.
Right. And is Jimmy thinking, hello, Michiko?
Well, if Jimmy's still, he's still in that kind of, I should be careful, shouldn't be too...
She's twinkly, but she's married. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
But he's sitting there. And they've had a few drinks. Uh-oh. And Jimmy feels something on his foot. Just a little bit of a tickle, like a little brush over his toes. I suspect you've probably had similar events in your previous pickles. A lot of footsie in the world.
Is there a pickle on his foot?
And that's what he's thinking. Is this obviously everyone else has got their feet in the same footwell. But Michiko is the only one that's really in the right direction.
Oh.
And he tries to catch her eye, but she's talking to herself, to someone else.
to herself.
Yeah, she's like, talking to herself. She's muttering away.
It's got a lot more interesting if she's just talking to herself.
No, he tries to catch her eye, but she's talking to someone else, but in a kind of ostentatious way, like she's deliberately ignoring him.
Uh-huh.
And then it happens again. Another little tickle on the foot. And he looks up again, and again, she's looking away, like, oh no, I'm not looking at you, Jimmy. And he's thinking, is she really? Yes. So yes, that was another, what do you do now?
Question, does this restaurant have a vermin infestation? Could it be a mouse on his foot? Dun, dun, dun.
Dot, dot, dot. So, a few minutes later, Jimmy feels another tickle, only this time it's on the back of his neck. And he kind of instinctively, he turns his head, but there's just a screen wall thing kind of there behind him. And then the people who are either side are busy with their food. And he's like, whoa, this is kind of weird.
Okay.
And then he feels it again, and it's slightly higher up.
Oh, God. Is this like a Halloween episode or some shit? Oh, my God.
He instinctively flicks his hand at his neck. A huge 8-inch long monster centipede flies across the table straight into Michiko's face.
Fuck!
Jimmy
oh my
yelps.
God!
Michiko screams, flings the beast away from her onto the girl next to her. In a few moments, everybody's screaming, running around like crazy.
Oh. And it was Jimmy's fault.
the night, yes. Basically, after that, everyone just kind of leaves and goes home and is like, fuck you, Jimmy. And he goes home the next day and he never hears from Michiko again. It's a sad, sad story.
Is Jimmy now happily married and can look back on this with laughter?
Almost certainly, yes. I would say.
God. Oh, bugs.
Was it really that big?
I've heard a good 8 inches, yes. And apparently...
Impress any lady. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Ay.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm sure I remember reading somewhere they do have up to like 15-inch centipedes in Japan. And some of them, they're supposed to have poisonous bites and everything.
So God.
They do freak people out.
Oh, of course.
I've seen a few pretty large centipedes, and they are, they move real fast, too.
They do.
You move really fast when there's like a wasp in the room, or like even a little mosquito. Yeah. You're like, whoa! And,
well, that's because of the death hornets.
I love you very much, husband.
Oh my God.
Bro, what's your sticky pickle?
There you go.
Okay, Hetty Pops. Okay, we have a boyfriend, girlfriend situation. Edna and Jude. And yes, she loves her name.
Her name is Edna.
Edna.
Okay. Edna.
Like evil Edna?
Well, she doesn't think of herself as evil.
Pretty much everyone else is going to.
She doesn't choose her name. Her parents chose her name. Take it up with mm-hmm. them. Edna mm-hmm. and Jude. And they are in their early 30s. And they've been together for a few years. And they're right now seriously talking about moving in together. So it's Monday evening. Edna and Jude are lying in bed in her flat, and Edna notices on Jude's back a ginormous pimple.
Like a third butt cheek.
Its white center stares at Edna, begging to be released from its bulged skin.
Good Lord, this episode is gross. We did anti-vaxxers, giant-ass bugs, and now zits? Are you kidding me? We're going out on the season with this? Oh, my God.
All right, we'll get some poop and sex in later.
There we go. Okay, now then I'll be happy.
Okay, so you're in that situation. Are any of you that type of person? Like, if someone had a big pimple, your partner has a big pimple on their back, do you like, what do you do? Nothing, something.
All right, I want you two to answer this as the married couple on the show right now. You tell me.
I would offer them a t-shirt.
God.
He would as well.
Oh, bless.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, because Edna...
hasn't got any chisels handy.
She just says, honey, can I pop this monster on your back? And Jude laughs at her and is like, no way, you cannot have it my fucking pimple, right? And she begs, tries to be cute... says she was always meant to be a dermatologist, all to no avail. So question number one, is Jude being selfish? Shouldn't he share his pimple?
No, it's his body. God.
She loves popping blackheads, pimples, whatever. He knows this about her.
It doesn't matter.
It's kind of her thing.
It does. It do to herself, not to him.
Is popping them medically proven to be a good thing?
I'm sure she could find evidence to say yes.
Does she have the appropriate tools? And
are they sterilized?
Sanitization equipment.
No, she just uses her fingernails. You know. So gross. Why are we doing this to our listeners? We're going out on this. Oh, my God.
They've been in this situation. That's why.
Oh, man.
Has anyone... Is this I Must Pop thing actually that common?
Write in. Let Edna know she's not alone. So,
okay, I have been in her situation. I have been the one being like, I must pop that zit on your back. My husband will attest to this, and we've gotten into little mini tiffs, but the line is always, if he says no, then it's no. I mean, that's just basic shit. Well,
she did that. She didn't pop it, right? He said, no way, no way. She begged. He said, no, they didn't do it.
She gonna drug him?
Such an extreme solution.
It's a few days later, okay? It's their next sleepover over at Jude's house. And Edna's in a great mood, but Jude has had a super long week, difficult new boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally they would play online poker together, but he just wants to watch Denzel movies and eat a takeaway.
Sounds like a perfect evening.
That does.
Right? So they do just that. Even though it is not Edna's favorite activity or takeaway choice, but she goes along without a word because he's in a bit of a, you know, he's, you know, stressed out. And
what would help would be popping that giant ass zit. We just know it.
Well, you know, they've gone to bed, Maria. They've gone to bed, and the takeaway is rumbling away in Edna's tummy, and it's keeping her awake. And of course, Jude is fast asleep, softly snoring, and she looks over at him lovingly. And feeling rather wonderful about being such an amazing girlfriend over the evening, because they watched Denzel, they ate, you know, his takeaway. And she spies the pimple.
Don't do it.
And it's bigger and juicier than ever. She cannot even believe that it's there.
Don't.
Does it look like Richard E. Grant?
Yes, it does. That was inspiration for this. I mean, how could his clothes, like, she does not understand how it's still there. It's that, like, ready. So here's the sitch, okay?
So gross.
Big pimple right there, just under shoulder blade, literally begging to be popped. And he is fast asleep.
And he's shirtless, to be clear.
Yes, an incredibly deep sleeper. Just generally.
I know where this is going and I don't like it.
Generally, good sleeper when he's being attacked.
Well, what do you mean attacked?
Well, when people are, you know, causing physical damage to your body, that tends to wake you up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like there's a subtext here. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit
Shut
thick.
Up, Maria. So the thing is, question one, do you pop it or not? You're awake, your tummy's rumbling because of his stupid takeaway.
How is popping it going to solve your rumbling tummy?
Very delicious distraction.
Maybe some kind of, you know, antacid.
I feel like I should just log off right now and let the two of you. just let this be.
What if I told you that Edna could not resist?
Uh-huh.
Well, that makes it all fine.
Yeah. I really wish my husband was here right now. God, I've had this exact same thing.
So she gingerly, as to not wake him, positions her fingers perfectly.
Don't do it.
To pop the angry demonic thing. And she has to decide now whether she goes slow and careful or sharp and quick. Like, she needs to know, like, is it more important for her to just do it? Yes, he'll wake up. He probably won't know what happened. Or does she just try and let him sleep through it and just kind of slowly squeeze it out?
Just leave the man alone. Let him sleep, for God's sake.
I thought you said that in your relationship, you've been in the situation.
I have
before.
Been in the, I want to deal with the thing on your back, but I will not do something to someone who's sleeping. And it's only, I will only deal with aforementioned blackhead of problems if I have the explicit okay.
And the appropriate tools.
And, well, fingernails.
What do you think? What do you think, John? What should she do?
Well, you know, if it's really bugging her. And,
like,
you know,
really a lot.
She's got really,
it's
really,
like a third person in the room.
A really burbly tummy. and there's no antacids for miles around, then this is clearly the only solution to just, just have at it.
Go for it.
Yeah, I would, and I would probably, you know, I don't know whether is hard and fast or slow and careful more satisfying. I would go for whichever one is more satisfying.
All right, go for gold. Because
if you decided you're going to do it, do it. Do it in the way that gives you the most.
Yes, Kroll, if you're going to do this, you should definitely.
That's so interesting. I did not expect you to say that because she does exactly that. She goes for it, right? She dives in. She goes, he's going to probably wake up. I need to get that thing out of there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for the quick, you know, just puncture quick. And literally, as soon as she gets near it, he jumps out of the bed like he's bitten by a rabid dog. Like, he is screaming every swear word known to man. Like, fuck! What the fuck have you done? And she's laughing. Sorry, 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 she says.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Laughing, laughing, sorry, sorry. He's looking in the mirror, checking out for blood.
Oh, God. This is so gross.
Presumably, there's quite a lot of blood.
Oh, Jesus.
He's mopping it up.
Did she actually manage to pop it?
Yes, she managed to pop it. But he refuses. He leaves the room, storms around the house, comes back. He goes, I refuse to sleep next to you unless you wear these. And he has mittens and duct tape.
Boxing gloves.
But, you know, I kind of feel for her. Edna. Like, really? A, she's got a hard name. And yeah. B, you know, I understand that.
She's a bit gutsy.
Well, that requirement to want to help someone in a situation. I mean, he couldn't reach it. If it had been on his face, he would have totally taken care of it. She was helping.
By squeezing it with dirty fingernails?
Very clean
by
fingernails.
By putting a little dab of astringent on it.
Yeah, see, I'd be like, if you want to help, you say, honey, you need to see a dermatologist because that could be something more serious, like an infection or, I don't know, a hematoma. I don't know.
That's not a win-win situation, though.
Wait, him going to see a dermatologist for a nasty boil on his
back?
Does
not give her any joy.
Oh, too fucking bad!
And there you have it. Season end of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do.
That was a sticky one.
It was a sticky.
Oh, God. I don't feel good about leaving it on a zit poppy note, but I don't think I have a choice. Oh, you can let us know what you thought of this episode.
Or not.
Or not. Or not. But if you have nice things to say, we'll listen to it at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And also the Shuffle app, getshuffle.app. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com, maybe we should start selling little zit picker tools or something and make some money.
Sticky Pickles zit tools.
Oh. Be like a mini scythe.
God, just, I see this in 2022.
Merchandising. That's clearly what we need to start doing. That and sorry diarrhea as like a sticker. People definitely would want to wear the word sorry diarrhea on their person. This I know.
We love you, really. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you for season/series 4 in January 2022.
Yay, happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, yada yada.
Happy
Christmas. Yes. Thank you, John, for coming on the show.
Lovely, wonderful.
Yay.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Amazing amount of fun. I was expecting more sex and poop, but I'm, you know.
Story of my life.
I'm down with bugs and spots.
There you go. Oh, my God.
Is that what it's like every day?
Yeah.
Okay. What a gross episode. Oh, we're going to either get a lot of listeners or lose a lot from that one.
Ah, well, it'll be what it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Perfect.